afternoon, everybody. Welcome in. Episode 7 of the Portland Winterhawks podcast. Andy Dirt Johnson hanging out with you back over at the VMC with a not rested, not refreshed, but here nonetheless, Nick Merrick, my buddy, my pal. What's going on, man?
We were talking about that, too. I'm just like, I need the coffee. We're recording this on a Monday, and it's coming after the weekend, so we're both just like, I need my coffee to hit me right now. I decided to go water this morning, and I should have put in a little caffeine in the mix.
Rookie mistake,
That'll happen after lunch. I always make my post-lunch coffee.
So let's get this schedule nailed down. We got a long road trip, which I don't know if there's ever been a game that is more like a we're ready to be home game than the final game of the road trip.
Oh,
of just like, we are exhausted. Can 100%. We please go home? I'm sure the broadcaster felt the same way as the team did of like, we're just ready. So what day did we get back last week? And then you just get jammed in an immediate Friday, Saturday doubleheader. What time did we get home on Sunday morning?
Really, really good road trip, obviously, overall. Team got four wins. I know we chatted in the beginning of that road trip and things were going really good. I thought they continued in a very good pattern. Obviously, the last game stinks when you have a kind of blowout loss at the end of the trip, because it takes a little bit of the recognition away. Like, the team won four wins. Keep in mind, last year's team who did that same trip, I know it was against Central Division, so it's different teams, but going when you cross west to the east lines, it's tough because you don't get the matchups. You're on that weird travel schedule, as you mentioned. And last year's team, they only won twice. They had two wins of the six games.
And a team that was in the WHO final.
Yeah. So this year's team won four. So obviously they're in the right direction, right? So that last game's tough. And I'll hit this one now, too. I know you didn't mean it this way at all, Andy. But, you know, that last game, I know fans are probably thinking like, wow, the team just didn't care. They're ready to go home. No, that part's not true. It's the fact that, is your body tired?
Yes.
1,000%. I know we're going to talk to, I got the sneak peek of it too, like Alex Weiermeyer and Joel Plante, the guests, and we just finished up recording them. They mentioned how the body recovery is so important to focus on here, and they're playing four games in five nights, so it's bound to happen, those types of moments. The team just, they couldn't, I don't think their brain and their body can keep up, if that makes sense. They're so used to playing at a high clip, so at the end of the trip, it was a little struggle. But team got back then after that Saturday game in Swift Current on Sunday around, I think it was like 2:30-ish or so.
Okay.
So really not terrible.
Not terrible. Gives you an afternoon.
That was a football day too. What happened?
Divisional round,
yeah,
playoffs?
So we basically missed the morning game, but we saw the second half of the divisional games, which was nice. So I got to be back home with wife and kid and watch that. And then
did they let you put the feet up on the couch and watch a little football day?
We all did that for sure.
Everybody
that
just
was
lounging.
Yes, that was a big lounge day. And it was nice just to get back, because afterwards you're thinking like, okay, like, the gauntlet's done in a way.
Yeah.
I knew you and I talked about it. I was like, I feel like back in episode one of this season, we were saying, hey, it's Prince George. That's going to be tough. Then it's that 2-week long road trip. But now I'm looking at the calendar right next to us, and it's not bad. There's only two more Canadian trips all regular season.
Right.
And the next thing you know, it's, you know, March 28th and you're in playoffs.
Yeah. So it's unbelievable how fast this portion of the schedule goes. Like, it goes so quick, and that's being the longest road trip, kind of knocking it out and getting that opportunity. And it's so, I love the way you said it, because they played unbelievable. And then you have a 10-1 game at the end of the trip, and it's like, man, they lost 10-1. It's like, dude, that is not an easy road trip to go on, man.
Right.
That's such a long time, and the body clocks and trying to get sleep. And
well, and the funny part is, I'll still go on it. I think the best offensive game the Winterhawks had on that road trip was the game they lost in Prince Albert.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought they were all over the puck in that game.
Right.
You know, and sometimes, I don't know if the coaches might break it down differently too. I think their chance report was really strong. It backs this one up. But the puck possession, it felt like it was 80% Portland, 20% PA.
Just one of those games where you can't find a way.
Correct.
Yeah.
It was like they had a couple good shots, and next thing you know, you're like, oh, shoot, we're chasing this one, I guess.
Right, exactly. It's going to be one of those nights. And then it's great to see a team, I think, come off of a trip like that. Like, people often joke, in other sports, you have a long road trip, and that first game back home. Now, I know it was a little bit different Portland, because they had some time off before that first game. Wasn't the next night or two nights later. But a lot of people joke that you get back from that trip and it's almost like a one more game of the road trip, because you're just not quite got the cobwebs, your body's not quite there yet. And even though you're back in your own building, it doesn't feel like a refreshed, all right, we're back in our own building. So how impressive was it to see, you know, you hate the way the trip ends with one of those duds that every team's going to have throughout the course of a long year, but then to fast forward and you're like, damn, there it is, back-to-back wins on the weekend, and we're right back to where we were and playing great hockey on that road
trip. No, 100%. I feel like the best way maybe of like wrapping that up from like a non-hockey player's perspective, for the younger fans, it's like you just finished up your first semester finals, and that was the road trip, where the finals. And then you get to the finals, and you're like, oh, crammed everything in. We got it done. I could finally breathe for a minute. Right. And then you realize you're like, wow, my body and my mind is not quite there.
Yes.
It's kind of like that feeling. And then, you know, from the adult perspective, it's basically just like you had a big group project that was due. You had to pitch it, you know, at a meeting. And the next thing you know, that passes. But then two more projects come on your plate. And it's like, keep going.
All right, here we go. We thought we were done. We're not done yet.
Got to keep going.
Yeah.
So it's great to see the success from that and just being able to come back from it. But I thought the team did well. The funny part is I'm saying this. Full disclosure, not watching a lick of practice during the week.
Sure.
Because I was in that same boat. I'm like, oh, boy, we're back. I got to make sure everything's buttoned up on the business side.
Taking care of all the other stuff you got
to
do.
It's the same thing as like Mike Johnson and Kyle Gustafson has to balance that too of like, yeah, I have the team side, but I also need to check in with everybody else because I've been responding to emails on the road and whatnot. So a little different there. But everything I heard was the practices were good. I know the players kind of had that same reaction. Like I think I did walk over to the locker room after a practice on Tuesday, which was their first day back on the ice. Obviously, they weren't going to skate Sunday or Monday. And I went back and I was like, oh, how was practice, guys? And they were just like, ooh. Like, all of them were like, I might go to bed at 4 p.m. and just stay asleep for the night.
I'm ready for sleep right now, man.
You know, so they came in and they put in a good work, but then they're like, I'm tired. So I think they did a great job getting ready for the weekend and knowing that it's two opponents right there with the Winterhawks trying to catch them in the standings.
Yeah.
So they're the four-point games that you talk about. You want to win a regulation, which they did for both of them, because then you get 2 points. The other team fails to get 2 points, helps give you a little bit of separation in the standings. And you know, both Tri-City and Wenatchee, they've been playing good hockey, especially Wenatchee as of late. I feel like you know Tri-City is a great, great team, but they had such a heater to start that they've almost kind of come back to playing more up and down. And then Wenatchee was almost the opposite in a sense where they had all the pieces and you think, oh, this team traded everybody. Like they can't possibly be good. Well, they beat Everett in overtime. I'm box score watching that while the Winterhawks are playing Tri-City. And then we see them and Wenatchee has a lead halfway through the games. Like they played tough. They played really good. And they're both well coached. So it wasn't going to be like whatever. We'll just go through the motions and get these wins.
This would
like,
be an easy dub.
Yeah.
Just show up and win.
100%. Like it's almost, it's funny. And that's the beauty of junior hockey. Like there's never an easy night because you don't know what's going to happen.
Exactly. You got to bring it every night because you know, even Seattle's been that way a little bit recently
100%.
Too. They're playing better and they're like, hey, we got a chance to make the playoffs this year. Like the race is really tight. And I want to ask you about that. So I, you know, looking up just kind of where they're at out of the weekend kind of continues to the theme of the entire year where it's like, hey, how about those Winterhawks?
Right.
Look at that. They're kind of in the middle of things right now. So you got a nice road trip. You went back-to-back games after coming home. Portland, if the playoffs started today, now they don't start today. We got, 25-ish, whatever it is, games to go.
Right. Yep.
If the playoffs started today, they'd be hosting a first-round playoff series.
Wow.
If I would have told you that in August, what would you have said?
Yeah, I really didn't think there'd be a chance for that.
Yeah.
I was 100% on the wagon, no matter what fans will think on this one. This Portland team was going to be a playoff team.
Yes.
Like I knew they weren't going to be bottom three. I figured they would get in. Obviously, I think I was eyeing up more of like six range.
Yeah, can you get a 6-3 matchup? Maybe pull off an upset or something?
Yeah. Like I didn't think they'd be the one that just leaked in, but I was kind of thinking right around that, just knowing the roster turnover. But then it just shows how good this pool of players is coming up, and you know, I'm sure there's always frustration. Like we think about the players and teams, and who's a good example right now? Who's like a 17, right? Like a Cade Rudig or a Cole Slobodian. Like could those guys have been on the team last year? Probably in hindsight, right? Like you kind of see that.
Yeah.
But then you all of a sudden you're like, well, they didn't because the team was so veteran and they went to the WHL finals. So it's almost like we missed a year of this quote unquote prospect growing that probably would have been players on the team had the Winterhawks not been built to be old and go for it then. So maybe that's made the transition easier. I don't know. I think it's just like everyone's kind of bought into the role. Like I remember talking to Josh Sakreski and Diego Badazzoni back in October when that was happening. And they were just saying like, I think guys just know their role. Like we aren't the most skilled team. Like they're just like, we don't have the first round NHL
three first round picks on your front line.
And then you know, it wasn't even like last year's team where it's like, well, you had a guy with 200, well, kind of with Ryder and Chiz, but you know, it's like here's James Stephon and Jack O'Brien and Gabe Clausen, who all have basically over 200 games going into the season, it felt like. And then now they're all high in the ranking boards and we're going to add this Nate Danielson first round pick. Like, you know, that just wasn't in the cards for the Winterhawks this year. So it's nice to know that the team's put Is this our first podcast post trade deadline talk to?
No, we just did. We did one right on the heels of trade deadline or 2 weeks ago.
You're right. I was trying to think when we recorded that one.
But just, last I know, everything's a blur.
Just to recap that brain, like I'm glad we didn't see any drastic movement.
Yeah.
Like I'm glad it was like just add a couple small pieces there, bring them in.
See where you go.
Yeah, and small in terms of like you aren't roster shuffling everything. Like why? There's no need to. So then you can kind of see what happens in terms of if you do have home ice and the season ended today. Well, now you got a shot. You know, if you win that one series, you get in the second round, you never know. Like, I feel like that's the thing fans always talk about, but I feel like it is true. Like, I even think about Carter Sutherland and his injury against Prince George. There's no doubt a little bit of the what-ifs of what if Carter Sutherland was 100% last year? What if Luca Cagnoni was 100% last year?
Yes.
And there were guys who were going through it that I don't even think showed on the ice, but
they didn't even talk about. But you knew what they were dealing with.
You knew they were dealing with it, like you know their extra treatments and whatnot. So you do kind of play those games too of the what ifs.
Well, I wanted to ask you too about you know we mentioned the moves that they make at the deadline. We did that on the last pod, and we'll get to two of the new additions here in a moment, who are both awesome and fans. I think are going to love that conversation. Not a big sample size for Max, but he plays in a couple of games. Yeah. I'm just curious what you've seen there, and then Teddy, who I just you know. I love being able to call him Teddy, but Tedarenko coming over, the trade happened on the road trip, just kind of what we've seen now that two more pieces have been added to the mix and how they fit into the lineup here in the last, you know, 20 or so games.
Well, first off, Teddy better be your son's new favorite player.
Yeah, he has to be, dude. I gotta go get him a jersey, man. His dad was one of my favorite Winterhawks, so now he's gotta be Teddy's favorite. Teddy. It just goes
perfect.
Hand in hand,
that's
man.
That's so good. No, they've been such great additions. Like, the attitude from Lachlan Tedarenko, they call him Teddy, has been awesome. Like, he fits in so well. He already knew players coming in. I can't believe I overlooked the fact that he played with Marek Schlenker. I totally forgot that he was a goaltender for him at the under 18 level.
Yeah.
So he knew Schlenker for sure. He knew McDonough for sure. He knew Miller for sure. So that 17, 18 year old group, he was very well intertwined with. And he even told himself, he's like, I have skill. I like my shot. I like my game. But he goes, I'm an energy guy. Like, I like being an energy guy, providing under the bench, providing under the ice, working hard. Like, he's just kind of that hard worker, blue collar type player, where he knows what role he wants to play on the ice. So
talk about knowing your roles. That's a great guy to have on your team.
100%, right? Yeah. Like, he's not expecting to go out there and like, I'm going to dangle four guys and score right. three goals. Like, well, clearly right. we got guys that could do that right now. Here's how I fit in. Second one, the defenseman, I'm still working on it too, like every day. I feel like I say it every morning myself.
What do we got?
It's Max Pshenichka.
Okay.
Yeah. So
that's not.
So for the fans, it's like the he described it well. He goes psh, like it's you add the p.
Okay. Let's all like practice this together. Psh.
Yeah, psh.
Okay.
And then Pshenichka.
Buddy,
when
we do a TV game, he's going by Max for me.
Know,
I'm just gonna warn
I
you right
big
now.
P, everything.
Yeah, big P. Yeah.
I think it's gonna take a little time for everybody. Yeah. It's still taking time for me, and I'm trying to ask him, make sure I'm getting it right. Because now I'm. It's nice that he's actually going with his. What's the right word here? Like his.
Like how you like say the it in
phonetics,
the negative
yeah, the
dialect.
Phonetics, correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. In his Czech dialect and in the tone that he would do it. Like, he's not Americanizing the names.
Right.
I think I heard about that from Tri-City when I was talking with Craig Boschman, the Americans broadcaster. We call him Lukas Mateka because that's the Americanized version of his Czech name. But I think it's Lukáš Mateča. or like it's a C-A because the accents. It basically,
right.
Every time you see an accent, add an H. And the English language to it, basically.
Okay.
So when it's like P-S with the accent mark, it's like psh. That's where the psh sound comes from.
Interesting.
And then, but then it looks like Annika, but it's each.
Ah, so it's okay. Anichka. I see what you're saying.
So it's
I'm going to fail this portion of the test, but this is
weird.
Good educational material.
So if it'll stick, sorry, here's the language lesson you never thought you'd get on the podcast. But
I love
Max Pshenichka.
You're nailing it right now. We're going to lean on Nick Merrick to say that name every time on the pod. What do we make of Max in his first two games in a Winterhawk jersey?
He's really good. Yeah. He looked really good. I think he actually had a point in both games, both couple of assists, so no goals yet for him, but I think that's going to come in time. He's actually very well spoken English wise. We almost got him on this podcast, but then Ann and I talked. And we're like, let's let him have a minute to adjust. We've been meeting to get on Alex and Joel for a minute.
Let him catch his breath.
We'll
just
bring
got
Max
here
on soon, but he actually speaks really well. So he focused on his English. Which is great, because then if the fans run into him, the English barrier is not really going to be present there like it will for some other Euro players. And he mentioned too, he's like, it's a good challenge for me. Like, I'm trying to get better at my game. He wants to be a 200-foot player. He mentioned that. He said he really takes pride in his defensive zone. We kind of saw that backed up by the fact that he was running on the one of the top penalty kill units for Mike Fanelli over both games this weekend. So it's like, hey, throw him right out there.
Yeah.
I think the biggest adjustment he makes, as do every Euros, is the smaller sheet of ice. Like, they get just that extra split second when you have a little bit bigger ice and you're a little bit wider apart in Europe. So, you know, and he was playing professionally in Europe, so he's playing against grown men. So the good news there is he's got a great size. He is literally 6'5", 178. And, like, I was looking up to him, and I'm like, oh, my God, are you sure you're only 6'5"? Like, yeah, it was
looks massive.
Crazy. So both him and Carter Sutherland as a pair, like, those guys are just monsters back there.
Yeah.
Both 6'5". And really nice to have that kind of height and that arsenal in your lineup in a way, you know, because they could play to that. Like, if they play to that, it's a huge key. And I think one thing Max will learn is he'll get more comfortable with the systems now, and then we'll kind of see him blossom. Like, I was already really impressed with the plays he was making, you know, because when you come in, coaches are trying not to overwhelm you with all the video. They want you to kind of play freely. Otherwise, you know, as a for him, a, you know, 17-year-old young guy coming in, it's going to be like, well, now I'm scared to do anything because there's all these things I have to live by. It's like, I'm not going to remember them all.
Right.
So they kind of let him play free. Over time, they fit the structure. I think once he fits into that Winterhawks mold and kind of has a better idea of, like, my teammates will be there, I'm going to be there, then everything goes more fluid.
Makes sense.
Then we'll see him kind of really pop off too. And I know there were a ton of NHL scouts at both games this weekend. Like, the good comparison in Wenatchee, it's funny, I had a home game. I feel like I didn't have a chance to even walk into the room and see it. I heard there were going to be about 20 people here scout-wise from the NHL, not to mention NCAA programs here for the Friday game. And then Saturday's game, when we were in Wenatchee on, I don't know when that was, November? Yeah, like November, second week of November. Nobody there. Like, it was literally just like me, Mike Johnston. I mean, to be fair, it's a tough place to get into. Like, I get it. Like, Wenatchee's a little bit out of the way from airport travel.
If you're a scout, you're gonna go see him somewhere else.
Yes.
Easier
but
access.
But then this past weekend, it was like there were like 15-16 people made it to Wenatchee.
Wow.
So I think everybody wants to see Max. A lot of people want to see Max. A lot of people want to see Andre and Ryan Miller and Buttazzoni on the Winterhawks side, who are on the central scouting list. They also wanted to see Jackson Smith, who's likely a top 10 pick from Tri-City. I think Wenatchee has a couple of players too that are going to pop to, like, a Maddox McCaggerty. He's been a pretty impressive player for me. I forgot on top of my head which ones were on central scouting, but basically there were, like, I think there were a total of 8 or 9 combined between the three teams that were on central scouting. So nice to see, like, the attention coming back to that.
Yeah,
and it's obviously good when team performs pretty well in front of that.
I mean, they play great, and it's interesting to think that, you know, getting an easier access to him if you're an NHL scout. Pretty excited about that, of not having to go over to the check and watch him play. It's just, hey, now I can go to Seattle or Portland or Wenatchee or something, you know, catch him somewhere out here. A little bit simpler. Now you're going to get a lot of scouts.
Well, it's funny too, I think with those departments, they have it, European scouts, right? So then all of a sudden it's like they're taking the information they hear from that, and then your U.S. based or Canada based scouts.
Let's double check this. How do we feel about this?
See
how he's playing.
You almost get two different, you know, departments in a way looking at you. It's like, here's the European scouts, here's the American or, you know, North American based scouts, and do they agree? And if they do, then all of a sudden it's like, this guy might be a pretty good player.
This guy could be a high draft pick. You can't grow him 6'5". I mean, that's a great place to start when you're trying to make it to the next level. I know Hawks fans got a chance to see him. You mentioned the points in each of the first two games for Max. What a great start for him in his Winter Hawk career. Let's get to the schedule coming up, buddy. So we're coming, you know, 25-ish games left to go in the regular season.
Yeah.
Long road trip out of the way. What's on the docket? What are we looking forward to in the next couple of weeks? What's going on promo-wise?
My funny note there is I'm thinking, what is coming next?
You're like, but that's everything only, just spinning right now?
It's only because it's all the home games, so I actually know what's coming on, but it's funny. Like, when's our next road trip? I always think about, like, the schedule is our next road
right.
trip, and the team's actually not on the road until, like, February 6th, and they go to Vancouver. So a great game on Friday night, this Friday, January 31st, last game of the month against the Medicine Hat Tigers. No promo night to it, so just a great Wednesday or Friday night hockey game. And it's really good because Medicine has a lot of fun NHL talented players. So as much as we talk about the Winterhawks, it's nice to reach out. Like, you talk about Berkeley Catton and the high-end Seattle Kraken pick with the Spokane Chiefs. You know, you're going to get Gavin McKenna, who is very likely the first overall pick. Not this year,
but
in 2026.
Yeah.
So it'll be the only chance you'll likely get an opportunity to see him and the Medicine Hat Tigers in town. And I hate saying it on one player, right? Like, I'm sure Medicine Hat Tigers are sick of that too, because they have a great team. Like, it's one of the best in the Eastern Conference. So that's a great sizing.
It's a great chance for Portland to kind of see where you're at.
See where you fit. Yeah. Exactly. Like, you just came off the East Division's trip. You have one more game. I think they're the last game against the Central Division opponents. So see how you do against that. And then Saturday, Big Hawks Fight Cancer Night. Specialty jerseys will be out there. There's already a dash auction for a couple of the player jerseys. For the fans tuning in right now to the podcast, there's going to be a couple of different waves of the online jersey auction, but not every player will be on those auctions. Half of the roster is going to be available for auction during the Saturday game, the Hawks Fight Cancer game. Proceeds will go up against, will be all benefiting local cancer fighting organizations and cancer research. So you're also doing a part by bidding on the jerseys. Those jerseys will be signed by the players. So right now, obviously, they aren't signed for bidding because they still got to wear them in the game.
Let them wear them once, and then they sign them after the game. Although that'd be kind of funny if they sign them before the game. That'd be kind of cool. Calling that game, looking around like, hey, guy's got his autograph on the number 7.
100%. Can you imagine, like, is that a Griffin Darby signed Griffin Darby jersey? Like,
he's wearing that in the game.
What's he doing?
What a specialty, a signed autograph jersey in the game.
I couldn't even imagine the chirps that become. To be fair, that'd be such a hard thing to probably notice if you're a visitor, but can you imagine that? Like, oh, cool guy over here with his autograph jersey.
I'm going to go ahead and sign my autograph right here. Add my number on the bottom. It's like, we already know your number. It's on your jersey. We can see it.
Exactly. Well, I guess for the sports fans, how about the Paul Skeens?
Exactly. The card. I did. The kid turned down the offer from the Pirates.
To be fair, though.
Right call.
That was an awful offer from the Pirates.
Awful, and he lives in California. Like, so for those who don't know, like, people will be like, what the hell are they talking about? There's a one-of-one trading card that from Paul Skeens, who's a great young pitcher for the Pirates, and it was from his debut. It had a patch of his jersey on the card. They only made one of them, and this kid pulled it, like an 11-year-old in California. People think it could sell for millions. We'll see how long it takes to auction it, but the Pirates made an offer. It was like 30 years, tickets behind home plate, and all. You could come play a softball game at our field with your buddies. It was stuff like that. The kid was like, no, I'm not doing that.
No, thanks. It was funny, too. Well, I looked at it, and I was just talking about this with a coworker last week before we went on the road. And I said, let's just assume, like, I'd probably more than this, but I'm like, let's just assume that it's the Pirates. Like, $100 for, it's more than that, I know.
Yeah.
But I was like, what are people paying for Pittsburgh Pirates front row tickets? Like, they've been in the playoffs forever. $100, you get two of them. I multiply that out by, like, 30 years, and it's only, like, I say only, but I think it's, like, $400,000, which, obviously, it's a big chunk of change. But then I'm agreeing with you. I'm like, I think
you got to find somebody to buy it every single game, too. Like, we're going to have games where somebody doesn't want to buy the tickets. It's not going to sell every game.
Well, that's why the offer was. I mean, it's funny because they're making a splash on it, and good for them. Like, it's probably a marketing strategy, to be honest, as I'm coming from a comms marketing brain, too. Like, that's 100% what it was.
Yeah.
Because it's like, come on, with how many Tops trading cards are out there, you're expecting somebody to pull it in the Pittsburgh area?
Yes.
Like, get out of here.
Yeah, kids from California, what's it going to do with season tickets to the Pirates? It'd be one thing if he bought it and he was a diehard Pirates fan, and you'd be like, oh, next 30, like, if that's my team and I live in that city,
right,
and I could go sit behind home plate for literally any game,
right.
Then it's a compelling offer. But from California, it's not going to go to Pittsburgh to go to Pirates games.
I agree. Well, yeah. I think what was the other one too? Like a tour of the city or
the tour of the city. Like, yeah, they had some spring training stuff.
I feel like they do that all over the place, every arena.
And like, Livy Dunn offered a date, so you get to go on a date with Livy Dunn.
Yeah,
so you
know, her suite.
They got that.
Right.
That's part of it too.
Well, a 12-year-old might like that a lot.
That's the most compelling offer you can make a 12-year-old boy.
Journal entry was unreal. Did you see the journal entry on that one?
No,
see, you're coming for the Portland Winterhawks podcast.
Now we're all sidetracked.
Talk.
I love it. Started with autographs on the jerseys.
It was really cool. It was actually hilarious. Go look it up on X or Facebook, because it was, he literally made a journal entry of pulling the card. And he basically, the short version was, he was like, I was asking my parents forever for this. It was expensive. The Tops box
cards are incredibly expensive.
Really expensive.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of it too. Actually, if we ever want one, Diego Badazzoni, that's one of his big passions with his dad. And
interesting.
I was talking with him, and I think him and Luca Cagnoni and his dad, like, those are the two father son combos I picked up on last year that really like to rip packs and do it.
Yeah.
And then I think about it too, like, even this year, I think Diego Badazzoni is going to have a signed card in Upper Deck. Because we had to authorize when those players sign it.
Yeah.
So you get like a Portland Winterhawks staff member seeing it while they sign all the cards, and then they sit back to confirm it.
Yeah.
You know, I think they get something. They get like some kind of gift card or something for their contributions, because they're signing, 50 to 100 of them, whatever it is. But it's funny because I'm thinking like, oh my God, like Diego Badazzoni and his dad, like, they collect cards. Like, how cool is this? Like, he has his own card.
He does, yeah.
Like, it's really neat. So it's I don't know. Sorry, random sidetrack.
I love it, dude.
Podcast.
That is so fun. The card industry is wild, man. I bought my nephew, who is super into trading cards, and I was when I was a kid as well. I bought him a box for Christmas, and I'm like, are you kidding me? That's how much it costs? It was like 100%. One of those realizations. So this kid spent a lot of money to get that box.
Yes.
To get the Skeens card, he spent a lot of money.
I think it was like $320.
Buddy, that's it's getting expensive, and you better hope you pull a good card in that box.
No kidding.
Because if you don't, then you're like, well, that's great. I just flushed that money down the toilet.
100%.
For a bunch of B and C players. This is awesome.
The funny part is for an 11-year-old, he's like, well, my parents just flushed that money down the toilet.
Yeah, that's right. That's a valid point. Not my money. So we got Cancer Night coming up. They're going to auction off the jerseys. Back to our original point. Very cool nights coming up for the Winterhawks as they wrap up January, man.
I know. No, it's really good. I like the games that are coming up. There's a whole bunch of home games, which is phenomenal. Like, I love having a nice schedule like that so the fans can just be used to coming every week. You don't have to worry about this long road trip anymore. It's in the past. The team's probably thrown this in the past.
More normal schedule, especially considering where they're at in the standings, too. Because I mean, you can look at it and say, well, they're like, I think 2 points clear of the 5 spot, which, okay, this could go either way.
Right.
But only 3 points behind Spokane, too, for the 3 seed.
I know.
So it's like, there's a lot to be determined. You mentioned starting on Friday. That's a fun challenge. And I think the boys are looking forward to that, of getting some upper echelon teams in here the next couple of weeks. Let's see where we're at, you know?
100%.
Give it a shot, and then we'll, you know, it's a good indicator of like, all right, when it comes to playoff time, I look at the West, and I said it on the last pod, I'll say it again, it's Everett and everybody else. I'm not scared by it. I mean, Portland's guaranteed to win a series.
Right.
But you kind of look at it, you're like, all right, Everett seems like they're in a class of their own.
Yep.
How do you get into a spot potentially where you wouldn't have to maybe play them in the second round of the playoffs? You get into a 3-6 matchup. Maybe instead you get a 2 seed or a 7 seed in the second round if you can win.
True.
That seeding could be very, very important and impactful come playoff time.
No, I know exactly what you're saying. I think that's the general consensus around the league. Like, everybody knows it's Everett's to lose. I think the next wave outside of Portland in that one, Spokane, their top line is probably one of the craziest lines we've had in the league in a while. And that says quite a bit, too, coming from even like the Thunderbirds days of a few years back.
Yeah.
You look at the Moose Jaw's top line last year in Saskatoon and Portland, and like, there's some crazy good lines. And that one's, that Catton, Van Olm, and Crystal line is flipping right up there. And then, you know, after that, I think the BC is going to be up for grabs still between Prince George and Victoria. I still do not know what's going on with Prince George. I can't figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they have so much talent, and I'm surprised they aren't just running away with it. And that's not a shade on Victoria. Like, Victoria is a great team, but it's almost kind of like what we're seeing in the U.S. Like, Everett is kind of running away with the U.S. division right now. Like, somebody's got to make some drastic moves, and teams are going to have to beat Everett for a Spokane or a Portland to be kind of come
to
back
catch
into that
it,
mix.
Yeah. That's a big gap.
Yeah, and I kind of thought that was what was going to happen with Prince George going into this year. Like, oh, you'll have Height and Zimmer back. You're going to have some key players back. Carson Carls is probably one of the best defensemen in his age bracket. You have, the according to NHL Central Scouting, the best goaltender in North America on your team in Ravensburgen for a draft-eligible player. You know, so it's weird. Like, I feel like that's a team that probably should be sitting around 35 wins too, but for some reason they've kind of had their roller coaster ride too.
It's interesting that some teams just kind of click and you never know how it's going to play out, and some teams don't quite get there. And then you look at Prince George too, come playoff time, of like, that's still a team I don't know if I'd want to play.
Oh, 100%.
Come playoff, even though Portland's had great success against them, I don't, you know, that's one of those like, let's avoid that matchup if we can. Can we get out of that game possibly in the first round of the playoffs?
It's good, because the way to talk about this is basically like, you want to get yourself in the best home seed. If you can get the home seed, that's phenomenal.
Yes, Friday, Saturday home games are massive.
Nothing's going to be guaranteed for any of these teams, right? Like, we just talked about that. So it's like, if this, then you move on. And it's like, there's no easy route for any program to get there again. Like, it's kind of, which is fun. And I know this probably comes off so selfish from our Portland voice, but I feel like last year, like, I was like, just get Portland to the playoffs. They're going to be fine. I knew Prince George was probably the one team threatening them. Obviously, it makes sense. So I was like, but I feel like this entire room was like, nobody was feared. Nobody was fearful of Prince George.
No.
They were like, we were hung with them. We'll be fine. We can get there. I'm sure they think the exact same thing. This year, it's almost just like, a little bit roll the dice. Like, if anybody could beat Everett, roll the dice.
Yeah, see what you got.
Yeah.
You got nothing to lose. They got everything to lose. It's that kind of year for them. So
right.
It's just, I don't know. It's a fun reminder as we kind of wrap things up on this episode of, we started the pod this year at the beginning of the season, and I thought that we would be talking about development. Hey, maybe we could sneak in.
Yeah.
You know, how are the young guys playing? You know, that kind of stuff. And now here we are.
Home seed?
Hey, maybe a first round home playoff game, or, you know, Friday, Saturday home playoff games. Man, there's nothing that beats that. In the spring in Portland, the weather's turning. It'll be here before we know it. So it's fun to kind of remind yourself of, like, this has been a great year. Excited to see how it goes the rest of the way. Go get your coffee, because you need some coffee.
I do need some coffee.
Hopefully you got some blinds in this office. You could take, maybe crawl. You got to go George Costanza. Get a little nap, a little nap cave underneath here. Right, get some sleep, get
That'd
some rest.
Unreal. It's a little keyboard.
Just a little keyboard.
There.
You kind of lay down, get a couple of pillows and a blanket down there, buddy. Good to have you back, and can't wait for the stretch run.
Likewise, excited to be back here in Portland. Excited to see fans again this weekend, and let's try to get a couple wins this weekend. Keep it going.
All right, continuing on the Winterhawks podcast, and we've been wanting to have these guys on for a while. Two of the new now they're not the newest faces on the roster. You guys were the new kids in town for a bit. Now we got a couple of other new guys that we could talk about. Joel Plante, Alex Weiermeyer. First off, guys, thanks for coming on the pod. Joel, I'll start with you, man. What's the last what's it been now? Month and a half since you've been here. What's the journey been like coming over to Portland?
Yeah, it's been great coming over kind of the end of December there.
Yeah.
You know, moving over from Nanaimo was a pretty big change, but yeah, ever since day one, the guys have been super welcoming and, yeah, great league, great staff. Super happy I made the change and, yeah, just got to keep winning with the boys and having some fun.
Everybody's feeling pretty good right now, I'd imagine. What about you, Alex? What's it been like? A little bit longer than Joel, slightly ahead of him. What's the last couple of months been like for you?
I'd say it's kind of similar to him. I mean, it's been, you know, the guys have been great in terms of welcoming us and, you know, I think the coaches have been awesome too, and they got a really special culture here, and I'm happy to be a part of it, and I'm excited to keep riding with the boys here.
Yeah, I mean, you guys go through your first big long road trip of the year. I think since you got here, you had a couple of short ones, weekends, and that kind of stuff. But first big long road trip, what was it like? What did we do? How did we kill time? How long was the bus time? How many movies did we watch? What was that like the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, it's something I've never done before coming from the BCHL. But honestly, it was fun. Like hanging out with the guys, we did a lot of different things. Cards. One of the guys brought their PS5s on the bus.
Now how's that work on the, like, you hook it onto like a TV, like you bring a TV? How does that work?
Yeah, they brought like a monitor and then HDMI and all that. So but yeah, a lot of sleeping and like overnight. Some of the guys would take like melatonin just to crash for an extra while, but yeah, it wasn't bad. I mean, I had fun. I know how it did.
What was the game on PS5? What were we playing?
We're playing some Call of Duty.
Okay.
Mario Kart?
Yeah, and then Mario Kart was the other one.
Who's the best on the sticks? Who's the leader on the bus?
Jugs
are pretty good.
He was winning the Mario Kart. The guys are getting pissed. He kept winning.
Yeah. I love it, man. So you guys get back, and then let's talk about, we'll go to you with this one, Alex. You get back. I got to imagine there's a bit of a hangover period there where you're kind of, you know, trying to get your sleep on the bus. You're tired. You get back. You get a back-to-back games. You guys get back-to-back wins. What was it like this past weekend and kind of keeping that momentum going from the end of the trip?
I think it was just, you know, trying to regroup as fast as we could. Obviously, you know, we had like 4 or 5 days before these two games we just played. But, you know, coming off a long road trip, it's kind of hard to get your body back, I feel like. And I thought we did a great job in terms of being ready for Tri-City on that Friday game. And now it's just about building and taking the next step at with Med Hat this next week.
Well, and then you guys kind of both touched on it. I'm curious to ask you about just the culture inside the locker room. That's something Nick and I talk a lot about. And, you know, the leadership group that's been here for a while now. Just what that was like coming in. I'll start with you with this one, Alex, of being a new guy, a new face. I'm sure that's always a little uneasy coming. You're used to playing with certain guys. Of just what the culture's been like, the welcoming environment, and kind of how that assimilation process happened and how long it took to kind of feel like you were one of the boys again.
Yeah, it's never easy, especially coming from like a completely different, you know, different league, different people, different players. But I thought the leadership group here did a great job in terms of welcoming me, and I'm sure the same with Planner. So hats off to Chiz and those guys and also the coaches as well. And, you know, they made us feel acclimated real quick from the moment we got here. And it's been awesome ever since.
Yeah, you feel the same, Joel, kind of the same process for you?
Yeah, I could say the exact same. I actually met Kyle a few years ago, so coming in and kind of regrouping with him was nice, and leadership group is second to none. It's made it super easy for me to come in and get along with all the guys super well, and like Alex said, the coaches having that winning culture, and even from like growing up watching and following the Western Hockey League, Portland's always been that winning program, so coming in and just trying to, you know, keep up to that standard's been great too.
Now, what do we make of Chizer this year, potentially leading the league in points? Like, what's going on there? I was just like, I've known him for a couple of years now. He's been a good player, but this is like a whole nother level. Like, where is this coming from? How's this guy pulling this off every night?
He's legit, man. I think with him, you know, he's so detailed with his habits and his routines that, you know, it's a matter of time because he's so consistent with it that you knew, you know, a year like this was going to happen. just because of that and his details and his habits. So
yeah.
I'm not surprised at all.
it's been fun to watch, man. It's been absolutely fun to watch. I'm curious to ask you guys, I don't know how closely you might not know anything about it or might pay a little attention to it, but fans, and we've talked about it a lot this year on the pod, of the court case that's allowing kids to both play and not lose eligibility if you play in the Western Hockey League, and there used to be certain paths you'd have to choose. Now, Alex, you came from the University of Denver, and I believe, Joel, you were committed to Nebraska-Omaha, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, do you guys follow that? How much of that was a part of the thought process? I'll start with you on this one, Joel, of just kind of how that played into your decision-making of coming to Portland and being here and how you feel about the decision.
Yeah, obviously super happy I made the decision. It's the best league, best players. Just from like talk, whenever that rule actually happened, my my school kind of reached out and brought up the idea of switching over maybe. Just because it's probably best for my development. So.
Right. Because you were in the BCHL, which doesn't lose you eligibility, right?
Exactly.
Under the former ruling. Okay.
Yeah. So I kind of sitting on it and talking with, you know, my family and, you know, doing my research on Portland. It was kind of a no-brainer coming over just as a development aspect and getting myself most ready for the next step. So, yeah, super happy I made the move.
Yeah. What about you, Alex? Because you were playing college hockey and you decided to make the move to come play in the Dub.
Yeah. I mean, you know, first off, you know, when I was at Denver, I mean, it was awesome being there. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to win a national championship with them. But I just felt like, you know, I had gone in a little early and I still had a year and a half of junior eligibility left. And
right.
I wanted to, you know, take advantage of that in terms of my development and you know, playing in more situations and whatnot and still having the path back, right? So I think that did definitely factor into my decision. But at the same time, you know, Portland is, you know, has a name for itself, and I knew coming here would really benefit me in the long run.
I'm curious to follow up on that. Like, for listeners who don't, obviously none of us played hockey, so we have no clue, but like the difference between major college hockey, you mentioned you win a national championship, and then a league like this, like what stands, is it the age gap? Is it the amount of games, the travel? Like, what are the biggest differences that you're kind of weighing when you're making that call?
I think you kind of hit it on the head there. The age gap is pretty intense. I mean, you can have some 18-year-olds playing 25-year-olds, so there's a big gap there. And that goes with physical development too. Travel is definitely different as well, so that's definitely a factor too. And then the game schedule has been, you know, it's definitely different. I mean, this is definitely more of a pro schedule.
Yeah.
I feel like. So it's definitely different demands on your body. Whereas college, I think max you play, if you go all the way, 40 games maybe.
Wow, so that's a huge difference
with playoffs. Yeah. So that's a huge difference in terms of the toll on your body, and it's different in terms of like. You know, in college, you're more focused on, there's a lot more emphasis on the gym, I feel like, versus here it's more on, you know, getting your body ready for the next game and recovering properly. So two different aspects, both pros and cons.
It's fascinating, to think about just the different ways you can get ready for the next level. You guys both touched on coaching, and Kyle's obviously in his first year as a head coach. So I'll start with you, Joel, just kind of what stood out about him. He's been around this organization a long time. Mike was obviously a legend for so many years and kind of handing the reins down. What's it been like playing for Kyle and a new head coach?
Yeah, the biggest thing I see is he wants the best out of all of his guys. So every day at practice, making sure the details and the habits are all right. I mean, that stuff goes a long way. So having that and having that winning mentality and every day you want to get better and come to the rink and have a good positive environment. Kyle's been great with me, and I know Alex really likes him too. So.
Yeah. You feel the same way? You like playing for Kyle?
Oh, he's awesome. He coached me 5 years ago in a minor hockey tournament.
Really?
So we'd had a relationship before, but he's phenomenal. I've loved, you know, playing for him, and he's a great guy, great coach, and it's been awesome.
Well, the weather's been decent. You guys gotten on the course with him at all? You guys play golf? Because he's a big golf guy.
That's what I heard. Not yet, though.
Not yet? Okay. We're not quite there yet?
No.
All right, I love it. When you guys look towards the rest of the year, I mean, first off, how about this? Let's get to the other two new faces. So you guys were the two new faces. That's why we wanted to have you on the pod. We've been trying to get this schedule worked out. Now we got two new faces. I'm still not going to attempt to say the Polish kid's name. I'll let you guys handle that one. How do you say it?
Pasenica, I think.
Pasenica, you think? Okay.
It is that.
Fairly confident in that?
Pasenica. Max Pasenica.
Okay, we're going to run with that one. And then Teddy, I mean, that's just simple. He's a legacy kid. What's it been like kind of being on the other side of it now? Two new guys coming into the locker room, and then you've been here for a while, so you're not established vets, but you're not the new kids in the locker room anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's been, it's crazy because it's obviously, you know, I feel like we've only been here for
It's like a month.
Yeah.
So probably feels longer than that after the road trip, I imagine,
feels
right?
Longer, like, but, you know, when you look at the time frame, it's definitely just been over a month, and now we're not the new guys. So,
yeah.
But they're great guys, and you know, they've been doing great, I'm excited to see what they can do moving forward.
See what kind of impact they can have. Yeah. Let's get to the kind of rest of the year. So over the halfway point, trade deadline's gone. Obviously, players can still come and go, but you feel probably pretty good about where your team's at. I just kind of assess what you guys, in the next couple of weeks, what they look like. I think right now you guys are fourth in the West. You'd be hosting a playoff series.
Yep.
A lot of hockey still to play, obviously, but just kind of where you want to see the team go and what you guys are focusing on here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, for sure. We got a couple big games coming up this weekend to get some good opponents. So. Yeah. Going in with that winning mindset, like we've been saying, and we go play Kamloops and we go to the island, I think, once more. So, treating every weekend like it's honestly a playoff series. We talk about that in the room. So, we have a lot of confidence in our group, and we know we can go a long way.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch the rest of the way. Let's do a fun little, like, get to know you guys a little bit for the fans out there who are wondering these new guys and what they're into. What is the most recent movie that you've watched, Joel?
What is it called?
You had to get one done. One in on the bus trip,
yeah,
right?
I did. It wasn't a movie, though. I'm watching a series.
Okay,
right
what
now.
Series are we watching?
It's called Landman.
Okay. Yeah. Now, do we give it two thumbs up? I've heard a lot of reviews on that.
Yes,
you like
very
it?
Very good. Very good.
Okay. Yeah. Alex, what about you?
I can't remember. I either rewatched Gladiator or it was Rush Hour on the bus.
Gladiator or Rush Hour? Okay.
Kind of extreme.
Okay. That's each side. Gladiator can get you going, so that's kind of a motivational one.
Yeah.
Who is the number one most listened to musical artist right now? Whether it's getting ready for a game or just chilling, who's number one on your list?
Oh, I'm a big country fan. I like Luke Combs.
Luke Combs
is
good.
My number one, yeah.
That's a good go-to. What about you, Alex?
I might be Kanye.
Kanye? Hey, nothing wrong with Kanye. Yeah. Old school Kanye still gets it done.
Exactly. I'm
not as big as the new Kanye, but old school original Kanye, I'm all about that. Favorite comedian right now?
Comedian?
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. I don't know.
It's tough to call.
I don't know.
Yeah, not sure?
I don't watch a lot of that kind of comedian stuff, to be honest.
We're more into serious Kanye, the other way.
Oh, I'm all over that.
Okay, Alex got this one.
I think my favorite is probably Russell Peters.
Ooh.
I don't know about right now, but he's definitely my
That's kind of a deep cut right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got like a Mount Rushmore of comedians? I feel like you're into
probably,
this question right now.
No,
what's your Mount Rushmore?
He's up there. Dave Chappelle's probably up there. I kind of like Shane Gillis right now.
How do you not? He's on a heater.
Like
you like Shane
him.
Gillis?
I
Joel's into
him.
That. Okay.
I'm on a heater. And then maybe like Cat Williams, old school.
Okay.
But yeah.
That's good. I like it.
Yeah.
Alex, we're getting something done right now. Last one for you. You got one teammate that you can choose to control the playlist pregame in the locker room. Who's got the best taste? Who gets the aux cord?
Honestly, Chiz, he is on aux.
He's
right
on
now,
it? Okay.
I'm rocking.
Now, is that just like captain status? Or he's like, I'm the captain now? Or he actually has good taste?
I love his taste. I think he's got great pregame.
Gets the boys
pre-game
going?
Pregame mixes, yeah.
Yeah?
Great taste, yeah. I'd go with Chiz, too.
Okay,
yeah.
Chizzer gets the job done?
Chizzer gets the job.
Hey, well, welcome to Portland, guys. I know we've been trying to do this for a couple weeks, so thanks so much. Unfortunately, we have to send you back to class now, so good luck in economics or whatever we're doing the rest of the day, and good luck the rest of the way, boys.
Came from his office, said, son, can I help you? Looked at him and said, yes, you can. Yeah, I want to drive the Zamboni. Yeah, I want to drive the Zamboni. Yes, I do.